Begin the current daf in Seftes Megillah daf Tezvav. Begin at the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion of the previous daf, where we were discussing the seven Nevi'is that came up for the Jewish people, one of them being Chulda, and we mentioned what seemingly was a contradiction, was she a descendant of Yeshua, or from Rachab Azayna, so the Gemara answered actually it's from both. Now, in that, we had mentioned the Braisa, which was the source that said that she was a descendant of Rachab Azayna, said that Rachab Azayna merited that eight prophets that were Kahanim came out from her. So that's where Gemara continues and says, "Bishlemi inhu mefarshu." We understand that four of them that came out of Rachab Azayna are explicit in the Torah. Meaning, we know Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Hanamel, Baruch, and Sariah are also explicitly mentioned that they were prophets. How we know that is because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Lamed Beis, "V'yovei leChanamel ben Doidi kidvar Hashem." So we see Yirmiyahu, because we know Yirmiyahu wrote the whole Sefer Yirmiyahu. Chanamel, it says that he said kidvar Hashem. We know Baruch and Sariah were also prophets because they were students of Yirmiyahu. Baruch, we know he was a student, like it says in Yirmiyahu Lamed Vav. Mipiv Yikra, Baruch said, "Mipiv Yikra Elias Advar Me'ilu," referring to Yirmiyahu. "Vani Kaisav al Sefer B'Diyoy." So he was saying that he was writing down whatever Yirmiyahu said. He was a student of him. Sariah, it also says at the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, "Hadavar Shetziva Yirmiyahu as Sariah ben Machzia." So we see that they were students of the prophets, and we know that the students of prophets are prophets themselves, like we find by Eliyahu Anavi, and his student Elisha was a prophet, Yeshua the student of Maisha was a prophet. Now, similarly, we see later on the Brice that says that Baruch ben Neroya, Sariah ben Machzia, Daniel, Mordechai, Chag, Zechariah, Malachi, they were all prophets in the second year of Daryavish. So we know that those four were prophets. But Elavasayu Minalon, but we mentioned the Brisa, it mentioned eight individuals that were descendants of Rachab. Neroya, Baruch, Sariah, Machseya, Yirmiyahu, Chilkiah, Hanamel, and Shalom. So the four of Yirmiyahu and Hanamel and Baruch Sariah, we know that they were prophets, as we just mentioned, but their fathers, Elavasayu Minalon, how do we know that Neroya, Machseya, Chilkiah, and Shalom, how do we know that they were prophets too? That we said there were eight prophets from Rachab Hazainim. Says the Gemara Kedula. Because the Amar Uli says, "Kamakum sheshmoy b'shem Avi ben Nevi'is." Whenever it mentions the name of a prophet and his father, then b'yadua shehu Navi ben Navi. Then we know that he's a prophet, the son of a prophet. So that's how we know that they're prophets, as we just pointed out. And it says they're the son of that person. If it mentioned the father, it's obviously saying that the father was also a prophet. Now, shmoy b'leishem Avi. If it mentions a prophet without his father's name, b'yadua shehu Navi v'loy ben Navi. Then we know that that person was a prophet, but not the son of a prophet. Shmoy b'shem ir meforish, if it says his name and the name of a city explicitly, b'yadua shu ma'isayir, then you know that that prophet's from that city. Shmoy v'loy shem ir, if it mentions his name but it doesn't say the city that it's from, b'yadua shu mirushalayim, then you know that he's from the city of Yerushalayim. Now, additionally, continuing on this theme, b'mesnitatan and the b'raisa we learned, kol shem ma'isab u'ma'isa v'isab setumen, if whoever mentions a person and regarding his actions and regarding his father, but it doesn't specify what their actions are. When it talks about one of them, it mentions him praiseworthy. For example, like a Sefer Tzavanya, it says, "Dvar Hashem, the word of God, Ashahoye el Tzavanya, that was to Tzavanya, ben Kushi ben Gedalia." So it talks about the praise of one of them. So we know he was a tzaddik, the son of a righteous person. And that's why it mentions their fathers with them. But whenever mentions one of them derogatorily, like it says in Sefer Tzifanya, was in the seventh month, Bal Yishmael, who was Ben Netanya, Ben Elishama, who he's the one who killed Gedali Ben Achikim, who was a righteous person. So Yidushu Rasha Ben Rasha, so we know that not only whether he was wicked, but his father and whoever we're mentioning in the pasuk is to say that they were also wicked. Now Amar of Nachman says Malachi, who is one of the prophets, that's we have a sefer Malachi. He says that Mordechai. That was Mordechai tzaddik. But why was it called Malachi? Shahiyah Mishneh leMelech, because he was the second to the king. That's what Mordechai became after the story of Purim. So therefore, it's called Malachi from the term of Melech. On this, the Gemara asked Meisve from a brisa that we alluded to just before. Baruch ben Neriya, Vesariah ben Maseha, VeDaniel, Mordechai Bilshon. That's referring to Mordechai tzaddik. VeChagai Zechari uMalachai. They all prophesied in the second year of Daryavish, who's known as Daryavish the Second. They prophesied for the Jews who were in the exile of this Gullus Bavel that they're going to come back to build the Beis HaMikdash, which they had been stopped 18 years before by those who were the detractors, which they had started doing before Achashverosh's times and days of Kairish. They all prophesied that it's going to be rebuilt, which it started then in that second year of Daryavish Achron after Achashverosh. But one thing is, it mentions all these prophets, and it mentions Mordechai, and it mentions Malachi separately. It says, it's obviously a refutation of the interpretation that we just said, that Malachi is Mordechai, because obviously they were two different individuals. Natanya in the Brisa Amri Bishum and Karchi says Malachi is the Ezra. Ezra refers to Ezra Sefer, who was also at that time of coming back up to the second Beis Hamikdash. But Chachamim, the sages say Malachi Shemai. No, his name was Malachi. Now Amr of Nachman says Mistaber Kamadam and Malachi is Ezra. He says it's logical to say that this Malachi who wrote Sefer Malachi is Ezra HaSefer. Why? Because the Chsib in the Vias Malachi, it says in the prophecies as it's brought in Sefer Malachi, Bog the Yehuda. Yehuda acted treacherously, referring to Judea, the Jewish people. V'te'eva nasis sol b'Yisrael b'Yerushalayim, and the abomination was done amongst the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. Kichil Yehuda kodesh Hashem asha ohev, because Yehuda has desecrated the sanctity of Hashem, which he loved. Uvol bas el necher, and he cohabited with the daughter of foreign gods. Now, uman afresh nashim nachriyes. This is talking about having relations with the daughters of idol worshippers. Uman afresh nashim nachriyes. Who do we know that was a personality that separated at that time the men, the Jewish men, from foreign women? That was Ezra. Like it says the pasuk in Ezra. So we see that the musr, the rebuke of Malachi, is the same message that Ezra had done. So it makes sense that he was the same person. Now, something like the pasuk in Ezra says, "Vayyan Shachanya ben Yechiel memnei Elam." He answered, "Vayyemel Ezra," and he said to Ezra, "Anachnu ma'alnu belihen." He says, "We acted treacherously to our God." "Vanoishev nashim nachriyes," we married foreign women, and that was what Ezra was rebuking them, and he separated them from those women. And again, therefore, it makes sense that Malachi was Ezra. Now, in relation to what we mentioned in the previous daf regarding certain women that were the seven prophecies, so similarly, Tanya Rabbi learned the Brice said that Arba Noshim Yefefias Hobi Oilam. There were four most beautiful women in the world, which were these women that were the same, that were the prophetess. We have Sarah, who she was Yiska, which actually that's the same idea we said that Yiska, that she was able to see with Ruach HaKodesh, and also that people looked at her because she was so beautiful. That obviously relates to the spiritual beauty of these women. Bavigail, who we brought in the previous daf from David HaMelech, that he desired her. Rachav, who is called Rachav HaZayin, as we're going to shortly explain that she was a desirable woman. The Esther, and Esther HaMalka, who everyone also, it says in the Pasuk, loved her. Now, Ulamanda Ame Esther Yerakreikis, I said, but according to the opinion we mentioned in previous daf that says that she actually had a green complexion, she was not beautiful, and they liked her for different reasons. Mapik Esther Ma'il Vashti, then from the four most beautiful women, you remove Esther and you put in place, rather, it was Vashti, who was a very beautiful woman. Now, Tanabon Linda Bryce said that Rachav, this woman, Rachav Azaina, Bishma Zinza, with just her name, there's immorality. Meaning to say, whoever just mentions her name, he already gets pulled after the desire for Znus. Yaal, Bekoila. When one hears the voice of Yaal, he gets pulled to Znus. Avigail bizchirasa, regarding Abigail, when one recalls her, and Michal Bashal, Michal the daughter of Shaul HaMelech, Briyasa, when one sees her, that visual, that makes a person desire Znus. Now, additionally, Amr Bitzchak, he says, Kolaim Rachav Rachav, whoever says Rachav Rachav, whoever mentions her name, Miyad Nikri, immediately he sees Kari, he has a seminal emission. On that, Amr Rav Nachman says, Anamina Rachav Rachav, but Leichbisli, it doesn't bother me. So Amalei says to him, no, Kikamina, when did I say if someone's mentioning her name, he's going to have a seminal emission, is B'yaydu B'makira. If he knows her and recognizes her, then by saying her name, again, these women were so desirable and so beautiful that would cause a man to have a seminal emission. Now the Gemara continues the narrative from the previous Dafim, which we had interrupted with a conversation regarding the different prophets and prophecies, because we said that it was greater the removal of the ring from Achashverosh to Haman, which was to wipe out the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom, to make the Jews repent more than all the prophets and the prophetesses. Now, continuing on that narrative, so Haman got the ring and he was sending out, they already made the plot between the two of them, Achashverosh and Haman, to destroy the Jewish people. And the Pasuk says, Mordechai yodes kol ha-shenase. Mordechai knew whatever was that was done. He was the one that had divine inspiration, and he tore his garments, and he put on the sackcloth and the ashes, and he went out in the city, and he started screaming a bitter scream. Says Gemamai Omar, what did he say when he was screaming this bitter scream? What was he saying? So Rav Amma, he says he was screaming, Gava Haman Machashverosh, that Haman was, he had such big ideas, what even Achashverosh would never have thought of, to destroy the whole Jewish people. That was what, like, he was screaming. Could you imagine that what this Haman is? He's more audacious than Achashverosh. Shmulam, he says, what Mordechai was saying was, Gavr Malki Yilah Mimalka Tatoi, which he was saying euphemistically in an appropriate way. He was saying that the upper kingdom has overpowered the lower kingdom, which really he meant the opposite, which was here the king on the bottom is overpowering, so to speak, Hashem on the top to destroy Hashem's chosen people. Now it says that, Vatizchalchal Hamalka, It says that the maidens of Esther and her attendants, they came and they told her what was going on, and the queen like melted, her batzeschalcha is like chalal, the inside of a body melted. It says, Igmar, my batzeschalcha. So Amar Rabbi says, Shapir Sanida, where she began menstruating menstrual blood, which caused her body to go into some type of reaction. Rabbi Yirmiyah, he says, Shehutzuchul nikaveh, that she needed her bowel movements, that was her whole body was reacting to this news. Now, it says, Vatikra Esther lahasach. So Esther called to Hasach to go send a message to Mordechai. So Amar Rabbi says, Hasach ze Daniel. Who's this Hasach? That refers to Daniel. Now, why was he called Hasach? Shechatchuhu migdulasai, because he was cut down from his post, from his stature, and in the days of Achashverosh, because in the days of Belshazzar, who was earlier, he was the third in command of the king. And so too in the days of Daryavish Hamadai, it says that the third in command was Daniel, and he was one of those three. So too by Kairish, it says Daniel was successful in the Malchus Davayavish and the Malchus Kairish of the Persian. But when Achashverosh became king, then he cut him down. He took away his titles. But Shmuel Ami says, no, the reason why it's called Hasach is Shekol Divri Malchus Nachtachin Alpim, because all the words of the government were cut by his mouth, meaning to say he was the final word. So therefore, actually, it's a reference to his greatness in the government. So she called to Hasach, and the Pasuk says that she commanded to tell Mordechai, Lodas Mazda Vamazda, what is this on this, what's on this? I mean, what's going on? What is this that you're making, you're screaming, you're putting on this sackcloth? So Amr Yitzchak Shalchaloi, she sent to Mordechai the message, Shema Abu Yisrael Al Chamisha Chum Sheitar. She was like, what's this? What's this that you're saying? Maybe it's that the Jewish people violated the five books of the Torah. The Chsiv Behen that it says in Sefer Shemais regarding the Luchas, which is the microcosm of that, Mizeh Mizehim Ksub, that they were written from both sides. You could read the Luchas on both sides. So Mazeh Vamazeh, is it regarding because the Jewish people are violating the Chamisha Chum Sheitar? Now it says that who brought back Esther's response to Mordechai? It says Vayegidu leMordechai to be Esther, that they sent back to Mordechai the words of Esther. Now Veilu Ihu, but him Daniel, who she had originally called for, Layos Legabe, he didn't go and follow through on the agency to send back the word of Esther, her response to Mordechai. It says the Gemara Mekanche Imeshivin Al Kalkala. From here we learn that one does not respond regarding bad news, because Esther was sending the message to Mordechai that she refuses to go to the king. So therefore, Hasach refused to go through with that agency. So Esther sent her message through others. Now, what Esther ultimately told Mordechai when she heard what was going on, and she was convinced of the need to intervene, so she said, "Lech kanoises kala Yehudim v'goymer, go ahead and gather all the Jewish people, etc., that says that are found in Shushan and fast on me and don't eat and don't drink for 3 days and three nights, and me and my maidens are going to do the same. We're going to fast." And therefore, when I come to the king, Ad, where the Pasuk says, Ashaloi Kadas, not according to the law, and if I'm going to be lost, I'm going to be lost. So Amar Babi says, what does this mean that she's going to come to the king, Loi Kadas? So he says, Shaloi Kadas, and the Bach adds the words, Kol Yayim Haya, meaning she's not going to go according to the rules how it was normally, which is, Shabachol Yayim, because it's not just referring to, not according to the rules, the knowledge just come to the king as simply translated. It means when she goes to the king, she's intimate with him. Shabachol Yayim, the Yayim Adakshav, where she was telling Mordechai, every single day up until now I had relations with him, Ba'inus, forcibly. I don't want it. The Akshav, now I'm going to be going according to your mission, Baratzin, willingly. I'm going to go ahead and bring myself to him. So therefore the Pasuk concludes, she said, V'kasher avadati avadati. Like I was lost, I'm going to be lost. Meaning, K'shem shavadati mebeis abijus, I was lost in my father's household. Here I lost my parents, I was disconnected from the Jewish people. K'chayv b'mimcha, so I'm going to be lost from you, because now I'm going to be forbidden to you. Because a wife of a non-Kayan, if she's violated by another man, forcibly, she's permitted to her husband. But when she does it willingly, she's forbidden. So therefore, now that I'm doing it willingly, I'm not going to be able to be married to you anymore. Now, the Pasuk continues and says that Vayaver Mordechai, that Mordechai went, he passed over, is the translation, and he did whatever Esther had commanded him to do, which was to gather the Jews, have them fast for 3 nights and 3 days. Now, Amar Rav, what does it mean that he passed over? It means Shehever Yom Tov, is the Girsa, of Rishon Shel Pesach Batainis. He passed over, he overpassed the first day of Pesach, which is Yom Tov, which one is supposed to eat and be merry, he passed it over betainus with fasting. Because on the 13th of Nisan, the letters were sent out that the rule is going to be that they're going to kill out the Jewish people. So on the 14th, 15th, and 16th, they fasted. After the 16th at nighttime, in Haman was hung. So those 3 days they were fasted. So therefore he pushed over the Yom Tov Pesach and instead they fasted. Ushmolam, he says a different interpretation. No, it means the other Arkayim Demai, he passed over a pool of water to gather the Jews that were on the other side of that water. Now it says, Vahiba Yemeshlishi. Okay, it's finally 3 days of fasting and Esther, the Jewish people. On the third day, it says, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. Esther clothed herself with royalty. So says the Gemara, as we mentioned in the previous stuff, Big Day Malchus made by Elisha. Say, garments of royalty. What do you mean, clothing yourself with royalty? So remember Lazar, remember Hanina, Malamecha Levashata Ruch HaKadosh. She clothed herself with royalty, referring to the divine spirit, where she had divine inspiration, like we said, she was in Nevi'ah. Ksivacha, it says over here, Tilbash, she clothed herself without garments. Ksivasim says over there, Pasuk Divrei Yom Aleph, V'ruach Lavsha Es Amasai, that a spirit clothed on Amasai. So we see that when it doesn't mention a garment and it's talking about clothing, it could be referring to a spirit, which was the case by Esther. Now the Gemara goes into different teachings from the same Amar of Amar Belaza Amar B'chanina. Says, La'olam al tehi birchas hedid kal b'necha. It should never be that the blessing of even a common person should be lightly taken in your eyes. Shabrik shnei g'dayla hadar, because you have two great ones of the generations, that baruchim shnei hadyotis, that they were blessed by two common people, v'niskayim b'hen, and those blessings were fulfilled in them. So you see that it's a big deal, even if a commoner gives a blessing. Ve'elohein David v'daniel, and this refers to David and Daniel. David, who was the God Ladar, the Barachi Aravna. Aravna gave him a blessing. The Chsev, like it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Vayim Aravna el HaMelech v'Gerim, the Aravna said to the king, etc., where the Pasuk says that he blessed him, Hashem Lekecha Yurtzecha, Hashem your God should find faith in you, which was fulfilled. And Daniel, who was also the God Ladar, the Barachi Daryavish, where Daryavish, who was also not a God Ladar in that way, was a commoner, the Chsev, like it says, the Pasuk, that the king Daryavish said to Daniel, Elohach, your God, the an polach lepedidir, that you always are praying to him, who is Shezvinach, he's going to save you, and Daniel was saved. Similarly, Vamir Belazar and Chanina, again from the same source, he says, Alti kilalas hedid kalabanecha, neither should the curse of a commoner be lightly taken in your eyes. Shari Vimelech killed Sarah, because Vimelech was not even a Jew. He cursed Sarah, because he said, when found out that she was really Avram Avinu's wife, and he was like, oh, taken aback, you didn't tell me, you said if she was your sister. So he says, he gave gifts to show that, like, this is, should cover over the eyes, but in that terminology, he was saying, like, as if, like, the eyes should be covered over, which means a person can't see. But this guy in Bazar, and that curse was fulfilled in her children, where it says, v'hi kizak in Yitzchak, when Yitzchak, her son, got older, but tachian ein of his eyes were dimmed from seeing, he became blind. That was from the curse of Avimelech. So too, another teaching from Vamer Belazam and Pchanini says, Boy Rei, come and see, Shalai Kemidis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midis Bas Avadam. The measurement of Hashem is not the same as a flesh and blood person. Midis Bas Avadam, the way it works by a human being, is Adam Shefes Keder. First, a person puts a pot on the oven, V'achkech Nesna Teich Maim, then you can put water inside of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he does the opposite. Nesna Maim, first he puts water, V'achkech Shefes Keder, and then he puts the pot. L'kayim HaShenema, this fulfills what the Pasuk says in Yirmiya, L'kol Titoi, to the voice of his giving, Hamoin Maim Bashamayim, multitudes of waters in the heavens. And then the Pasuk says, and he brings the clouds from the ends of the world, which the clouds hold the water. But he first puts the water, and then he brings the container. Another teaching from Amr Blazar and Chanina says, Kolaim David B'Shem Amr, whoever says over something in the name of the one who said it, maybe Gula Oil, maybe brings redemption to the world. Shanem, like we find, Megillas Esther. It says, V'tayme Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. Esther said to the king, in the name of Mordechai, that he was the one who told her, in the name of the one who said it, that there were people plotting to kill him, and ultimately that ended up bringing out the redemption of the Jewish people, that Achashverosh went to check and who did this favor, and then hanging Haman, and then saving the Jewish people. Another teaching from Amr Belaz, Amr B'chanin, is that Tzadik Avad, when a righteous person is lost, meaning when he passes away, L'dari Avad, he's only lost for his generation. What does that mean? Mashal Adam Shabdu Le'Margolis, it can be compared to a person who lost a pearl. Kamakam Shi, wherever it is, Magral Shema, it's called a pearl. It doesn't lose its value. Only the owner lost it. So the righteous person is always has his value, but when he's lost from the generation, it's the generation who has the loss, not him. Now it says in the Pasuk that when it says, V'chol ze einenu shavali, Haman said, then all this is worth nothing to me, as long as I see Mordechai the Jew sitting by the gate of the king, and he doesn't bow down to him, and that bothered him so much, that all this is not worth anything to me. So Amr Belazar and Chanina says, B'sho shiro Haman es Mordechai yeshu b'shamelech. When Haman would see Mordechai sitting by the gate of the king, Amr calls a nene shabbat. He said, all this is worth nothing to me. What does that mean? Kid Rav Chizda. Because Amr Rav Chizda says, what bothered him when he saw Mordechai? Because zeh ba b'pruzbali. Mordechai came with his pruzbali, with his weight of wealth, with his claim of wealth. V'zeba p'rizbati. And Haman came with a claim of poverty, which Haman actually years earlier sold himself to Mordechai for a loaf of bread. So therefore, every time he saw Mordechai, he couldn't contain himself, because really he was owned as a slave by Mordechai. So whatever he had was really owned by his master. But he was the wealthiest person in the world. But every time he saw Mordechai, that didn't allow him to enjoy that wealth that he had. As he continued to make bays, b'prizbati, that he came with that claim of he doesn't have. And Omar Papa, he says, v'karali avdi d'mizdabin b'talmi. They called Haman the slave that sold himself for loaves of bread. And therefore that bothered him every time he saw Mordechai. Now the Pasuk says, his words that he used was, v'chol ze inen shavale, and all this is worth nothing to me. What does that mean, all this? Malamit shekol gnozav shalaisa rasha, this comes to teach us that all the treasures of that wicked person, who Haman was very wealthy, chakukan ali, but they were all engraved in his heart. He would always know and think about all his wealth. U'v'shor sharoyis Mordechai yesh b'shamelch, but when he would see Mordechai sitting at the gate of the king, amar kol ze inen shavale, he would say, all this, he was always conscious about what his value was in his status, and says, all this is worth nothing when I see Mordechai. Another teaching from Vamer Belazim Reb Chanina says, Asar Kadosh Baruch Hu lisa tara b'rish kol tzadik b'tzadik. In the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu will be a crown on the head of every single righteous person. Shlomo says the pasuk in Yeshayah. Says, Bayomahu, in that day, in the future, Yeh Hashem Tzavokas, Hashem the Lord of Hosts will be la teres tzvi v'goymer. So the Gemara explains now what this pasuk is, that Hashem is going to be for all the righteous. My la teres tzvi, what does it mean, a crown of beauty? But the tzvi is tefara and a diadem, which is another term of a crown of glory. So it means, for the righteous, that lo isin tzviyane, when it says la teres, is going to be a crown for tzvi, for those who do his desire. Tzvi kuros mean desire, that they do Hashem's desire. And tzvi is tefara could be read, ula mitzapin, that's also the same letters as tzviras, and for those who hope for tefartai, for Hashem's glory. Now, Yochel HaKol, you would think for everyone like that, Hashem would be a crown for them. Tamalima, that's the pasuk continues and says, no, l'shar amay, for the rest of his people. What does that mean? L'mishameisim atzmi kishirayim. It's only for someone who makes himself like leftovers, which a humble person, that's the person that merits this. Now, the next pasuk says, additionally, that the qualifications are, ul'ruach mishpat, and for a spirit of judgment, which in this context means to say for those who judge their spirit, then Hashem is going to be a crown for them. And that refers to Zehadonis Yitzir. This refers to someone who judges his inclination, means that he forces his evil part to come back to be used for the good of the person. And the Pasuk says, Ulu Yeshav al Mishpat, for he who sits in judgment. What that means to say is Zehadon din emes lamita. This means to someone who judges truthfully in judgment. Ulu Gvura, and for might, Zehamas Gaber al Yitzir. This means to say someone who overpowers his inclination, meaning he doesn't follow his evil inclination to go ahead and commit sins. Meshivim Muhammad, those who turn back. The war means shenaisin v'naisin b'machamta shal Torah, that they, what's called handling, that they give and take in the war of Torah, means to say in the pulu shal Torah, in the discussion of Talmudic and Torah thoughts. Shara, that are by the gate, el tamid cham, that's a reference to Talmudic scholars. Why is that by the gate? Shemeshkimen amariven bevatech hanesis of bevatech medrashes, because they get up early and go to sleep late from the shuls and in the study halls. So when it says to the gate, it's because essentially the Talmid Chacham are like the gatekeepers, because they're opening up the gates in the morning because they're there early, and the ones who close it at nighttime because they're leaving all the way at the end at the last. Now, however, as the next pasuk continues, Amar Midas Adin of Nakadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of justice says around of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Master of the World, Manishtanu Elu Me'elu, what are these different than these? So Amalah Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says to the attribute of justice, Yisrael Oskabat Tyre. The Jewish people toil in Tyre. Umesail Oskabat Tyre. The nations of the world, they don't toil in Tyre. But the attribute of justice says Takadish Bohu as the next passage continues. But Gamela, also these, with this different interpretation, exactly who is this referring to. But one interpretation is that, but what's with the wicked people, who they should get judged in Gehenim? Because Bayayin Shagu, they reel in wine, Ubashekhar Toh, and with hard liquor they stagger. In other words, they also do like them, so they should also get the same judgment. Paku Palilia, they stumble in judgment, which is, as we're going to interpret that, they get judged in Gehenna, because in Paku El Gehenna. Paku refers to Gehenna, like it says a pasuk that we quoted in the previous daf, a pasuk of Shmuel Aleph, but Leisia Zais Lacha Lepuka, this shouldn't be for you a puka, which means a stumbling block, but it meant that David shouldn't get Gehenna, and Be'in Palilia El Dayanin. And the word palilia means with judgment.
Shemek says the pasuk, "Benasim beflilim," that the person who caused the damage has to give with judges. So therefore, the attribute of justice was saying, but yeah, those who are the Risham, they will get judged in Gehenna. Now we continue with the Pesukim that says, so okay, so Esther is here, she's clothing herself with divine inspiration, she's heading towards, on the third day of the fasting, to Achashverosh, and it says, V'tamid v'chatzar beis ha-melech pimeh. She stopped by the courtyard of the king in the inside. What does it mean, she stopped? So Amar B'levi says, Kimin shegila beis ha-tzlam, once she reached to the place of where the idols of Achashverosh was, nistalkim in the Shechina, so the divine presence was removed from her. So Amr, so she said, as it's quoted in Mizma Ayel Sashacha, which was said in the previous daf, refers to the miracle of Esther. So she says, Kaili, Kaili, lama zavtani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because she realized the divine presence was removed from her. So she said, Shema atadan al shayge kemezin, maybe you're dealing with me in error, like deliberate, val einis karasin, which I'm forced to, like as if I'm willingly, like even though I'm coming by myself, meaning on my own, I'm still being forced to do this. I'm not coming to him because I want to. Why are you moving your shchina from me? Maybe it's because I called Achashverosh a dog. Shem, like it says over there in that same Mizmer, it says, Hatzila mecherev nafshi. She was praying to Hashem, save me from the sword of my soul. Miad kelev yichidasi, from my single dog. So therefore, chazer karase arye. So therefore, she subsequently called him a lion. Shem, like it says later on, but there it says, Hashiyenu mipi arye, save me from the mouth of the lion, because she felt that maybe that was why the shchina was removed from her. Now it says in the pasuk, the he kareis hamelech as Esther Malka. So when it was that the king saw Queen Esther, who was standing there in the courtyard, she found favor in his eyes. So the king stretched out to Esther the golden scepter, which was the stick of the king that was in his hand, and he called to Esther, and she reached to the tip of the scepter. So on that says the Gemara, Amar B'Yechon, it says, Gimma malacha asharas nezdam nulavaisa. So there was three ministering angels that was prepared for over there at that time. Echad shegbiyas tavar, one lifted up her neck. The other one stretched out a thread of kindness over her to find favor in the eyes of Achashverosh. And one that stretched out the scepter of the king all the way till it touched Esther. Because that was a sign that you could come to the king. If not, the person gets killed. Now, but Kama, how much was it stretched out, the stick, by the angel? So Amar B'Yirmi, he says, Shtei Amas Haya. It was originally two Amas. Then Midu Al Shtei Amasri, and they made it to be 12 Amas. Some say actually we stretched out al Shesh Esther and 16 Amas. Some say al Esem Arba, that it actually was stretched out to 24 Amas. And b'masnitot, and the Brice we learned al Shishim on 60 Amas. And says the Gemara, v'chinat ha-maitze ba-masa shall pass pare. So do you find by what the Pasuk says in Shmai's Perek Beis, v'tishlech ha-samasa v'tikichel, that the daughter of Pare, Bisya, stretched out her hand to get Moshe Rabbeinu from the water, that the same idea, that there's different interpretations, that her hand ended up being stretched out, these same interpretations are what they stretched out to. 12 amas, 16, how long was the arm stretched out? So do you find by the teeth of the wicked, which refers to Oig Melech HaBashan, as the Gemara Brachas brings in the Nun Dalam Abayz, that he uprooted a mountain the size of three parsa, which was the size of the camp of the Jewish people, to throw on them and to kill them. So he put it on his head to carry it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent ants who made holes in it, which then fell down around his neck, and he wanted to take it off, but then his teeth grew in long, getting stuck in that mountain. That's like it says the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Shini Rishom Shabarta, which literally means to say, the teeth of the wicked you break. But Vamar Shlokesh says, Al Tikashi Barta, don't read you break, Ele Sherivavta, rather that you stretch it out. And that's the same thing. You have all these different interpretations, how much were the teeth stretched out, that his teeth got stuck in the mountain, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to kill him. Which Rashi actually brings, from the word Shini Rishom, you learn out this exposition, which was the last interpretation, that it stretched out 60 Amas, because the Pasuk should have written, the Shein Rasha, the tooth of the wicked. But it says Shinei, which has an extra yud, and Rishoim has an extra yud mem, that makes 60, because 10 plus 10 plus 40 is 60. Therefore, we see that the same idea, how much did it stretch out, like the scepter of the king, was there by Baspare and also by Igmel Chabashan. Now, Rabbi Bar Ufrin, Amen Meshomer Belazar, Shashama mi Rabbi, Verabbi mi Rabbi, his Rebbe from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe from his Rebbe, that actually Masayim. The stick actually, the scepter actually stretched out 200 amas. Now the pasuk says v'yemelah hamelech, and the gear says malach Esther hamalka. So the king said to her, "What do you want, Esther the queen?" And the gear says, "Uma bakasha isich ad chatzia malchus." And what's your request? Up until half the kingdom b'seyas, and it's going to be done. It's going to be yours. Now the inference of his words were chatzia malchus, only half the kingdom. V'loy kol malchus, not the whole kingdom. And additionally, v'loy dabe shechitz malchus, and neither you're going to have something that splits the kingdom. My new, what is that? That's Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that's the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because that was in the middle of the world. And Achashverosh was king over the whole world. So that's in the middle of his kingdom. As the Gemara says in Yuman Daf Nadal Mabez, that the Evan Shasiya, which was where the Aron was, it's called that because from there the whole world was founded, because that's the middle and it spreads out to the far ends of the earth. So Esther said, you know what I want? Yaveh ha-melech v'haman el ha-mishta. Let the king and Haman come to a party. That's what I'm requesting from the king. So Tana Banu Linda Braisa, Ma Rasa Esther, Shazim Nesaman. What did Esther see that she was inviting Haman to a party with Achashverosh? So the Gemara brings many different interpretations. Rabbi Lazam, he says, Pacham Tam Nalai. She was hiding a trap for Haman. Shalom, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim. Yehi Shulchanim Lefneim Lepach. That their table will be in front of them, in front of the wicked, as a trap. So by having him come to a table of a party, she was actually setting up a trap. Pshuim, he says, Mebeis Avi Alamda. From her father's household, she learned this, which as Rashi points out, her father was dead when she was born. Means to say that she heard from the children saying this. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, Imrov Soinacha. If your enemy is hungry, Hachaleu Lechem Begamer. So feed him bread, etc. Which then the pasuk says, if you're going to do that, so then it goes on to subsequently say, because Gachalam Chaisal Reish, you're going to actually be pouring coals on his head. So by inviting her enemy, she's actually going to have the upper hand. Remeir, he says, the reason why she invited him to a party was Kadesh Leitel Eitzav Yimr, that he shouldn't take counsel and rebel against the king, because at that time he was becoming very powerful, very mighty, and he might just say, hey, let me overthrow Achashverosh. So to avoid that, she invited him to a party. Yehudim, he says, Kadesh Leikiru Ba Shehi Yehudis. No, she didn't want them to recognize that she's a Jewish woman. A Jewish woman who Haman's trying to kill, for sure wouldn't invite him. So as that ploy, she invited him to a party. Reb Nechemiah, he says, no, Kadesh Leikiru Yisrael. She didn't want that the Jewish people should say, ah, Achis Yeshlanu Beveis HaMelech, we have a sister in the house of the king. Then they're going to lose consciousness of beseeching mercy and say, oh, don't worry, we can rely on Esther. She didn't want them to think, she's inviting Haman. Oh, forget it, we lost all chance. And they're going to pray for mercy. Rabbi Yisim, he says, the reason why she invited him was because she wanted him around as much as possible, because she wanted him to mess up something in front of the king, and then she'll be able to have him executed. Rabbi Shimon Menasim, he says, Ule Yargash HaMakam. Maybe Hashem is going to realize that, look, I have to bring close to me the enemy of the Jewish people. Or Hashem is going to realize that I have to be machnif, I have to try to ingratiate myself with this wicked person and degrade my dignity as a Jewish woman. And Hashem is going to see this. V'yasalon ha'nesi is going to make a miracle for us. Shuban Karchoim, he says, no, her thought process was, Azbulei panim, I'll be sweet and all nice to Haman, k'deshi yaharig hu v'hi, that Achashverosh should kill me and Haman, because Achashverosh is going to start suspecting what's going on between the two of them. I see Esther's being very nice and sweet to Haman, inviting him to parties. So she wanted, like, okay, so let him kill the two of us, and then that will take care of the decree against the Jewish people. Reb Melila, he says, no, the reason is because Melech hafach v'chanhaya. Achashverosh was someone that was flip-flop. He would always go back and forth. He said, today this, tomorrow something the opposite. So she said, maybe I'm going to be able to, you know, seduce the king and get him to kill Haman. But if he's not going to be around at that time, a moment later he's going to change his mind. So I need Haman around so that we can kill him right then when we need to. Now, but Amr Mulil, he says, Adayin tzrichan anu l'maydoi. After all these interpretations, we still need the maydoi, which refers to ten like within the Breiser, but Laza ha-maydoi aymer, but Laza from ha-maydoi, he says the following interpretation. Kin'atu b'melech. She wanted that people, the king, to be jealous of Haman. Cannot to be some, she wanted the nobleman to be jealous, because when people are jealous, they go ahead and they're envious and they're going to do things to take him down. She wanted everyone to be jealous. Look what Esther is doing with Haman, and then they're going to go ahead and try to pull him down from the mountain. Rabbi Amar, he says, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, Lefnei Shever Goyin, before the break is haughtiness. She wanted him to be Goyin so that then he could break. So because if Esther is inviting him, as he did later on brag about that, then that's going to be the beginning of the downfall. They quote a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, "Bechumam, when they're hot, ashes es meshteim begoimer, I'm going to give them their drink," which the pasuk says, "I'm going to make them drunk so that they rejoice, and they're going to sleep an everlasting sleep," meaning they're never going to wake up, says Hashem, meaning that they're going to die, which actually this pasuk is in reference to Baal Shetzer and his troops when they were coming back from war, when Daryavish and Kurish were laying siege on Babel, and Baal Shetzer that day won them. Now, so they were tired and they were hot, and they sat down to drink and they got drunk, and on that day they were killed. So to Esther was saying, you see, from the party of the wicked, that's where comes the punishment, that by Baal Shetzer he was killed. So too she wanted to invite him, Haman, so that he gets killed. Now the Gemara tells that Ashkechei Rabbi Baravu Leliyo. So Rabbi Baravu encountered Eliyahu HaNavi, and Amalei said to him, Kaman Chazia Esther v'avdahachi. So we had all these interpretations. What was it really? What did Esther see that she did this to invite Haman? Which interpretation is correct? Amalei said to him, Kukulu Tanoi b'kakula Amaroi. Like all the Tanoim and all the Maroma, the interpretation we brought down, she had all those calculations why she was inviting Haman to a party. Now it says that when Haman realized what's going on, what status he's getting, Vesapalem Haman Eskvayt Asher v'Rebbanim, so he was telling his family, his friends, all the honor of his wealth and all the children that he had. Now says the Gemara, B'kama Rebbanim, how much was this multitude of sons that he had? Some Rabbi says Lamed, he had 30 sons. Asar Mesu, 10 died. Vasar Netlu, 10 were hung, as we know that him and his 10 sons. Vasar Machzir Al Psachim, and then he had 10 sons who were so poor that because of their downfall, that had to be begging by the doors for food. Rabban Amri, the rabbi said, Eisen Shemachzir Al Psachim, actually those sons that were going around door to door collecting for food, Shivim Habo, actually with 70 sons. So something like it says, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Seveim, the satiated ones, which the Targum Yonasan interprets this Pasuk going on the sons of Haman, now, Balechem Niskaru, they have to rent themselves out to get bread. Which says the Gemara, Al-Tikri Seveim El Shivim, don't read as satiated, but rather as 70. Those 70 sons had to go beg door to door. Rami Bar Abba, he says, Kula Mesayim Rishmayin Haba. Actually, all his sons were 208. Shnemar, like it says in Pasuk, Barayv Banav. And the Gematria, the numerical value of Rav, is 208, which the Gemara asks. V'raiv b'gematria mustn bar beisahaber. V'raiv the gematria, the numeric value is actually 214. On that, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says v'raiv ksiv, it's written without a middle vav. So if you take v'raiv without that extra vav in the middle, where it could be spelled what's called chaser, missing a vav, so then it's vav is 6, reish is 200, and veiz is 2, which makes for 208. V'raiv banav, he had 208 sons. Now we begin the sixth parak of Megillas Esther, where the story continues. So it says, "Balayla hud nadu d'shnas ha-melech." That night, the sleep of the king was disturbed. So Amar Tanchem, he says, what this means to say is, "Nadu d'shnas malchus shalaylam." Which king are we talking about? Which the commentaries say that in the Megillah, when it says "melech v'ad achashverosh," it actually refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he was the orchestrating this whole miracle. It means that the sleep of the king of the world, referring to Hashem, similar like we find in Pesukim and Tehillim, "Vayikatz." He woke up, kiyoshin Hashem, like he was sleeping, which means to say he was waking up to take revenge from the enemies of his people. That started right now. Rabban Amri, the sages say, that no, nadudu al yainim, nadudu tachtainim. What is this disturbing of the sleep of the king? It means to say that the ones on the top, the angels, were actually, they were disturbing the sleep of Achashverosh that whole night. And they were telling him that you are a kafur taiva. You're an ingrate. Pay back goodness for the one that did it, which is, as we're going to see shortly, refers to Mordechai, who had saved his life. Or some say, actually means to say, Nadul Yainim, means the angels were disturbing because they were increasing and beseeching mercy to save the Jewish people, just like Nadul Tachtainim, those on the bottom were being disturbed, the Jewish people, who they also couldn't sleep, and they were also praying to Hashem. Rav Amar, he actually says, literal translation, Shnas HaMelech Achashverosh Mamash, means literally, the sleep of the king Achashverosh, his sleep was disturbed. Why? So the Gemara says, because Naflei Milsa Bedate, something popped into his head. Amar says, Mai Dekamon, what's suddenly happening? Does Minise Esther Lahaman, Esther's inviting Haman to party with me? Dilma Eitza Koshakli Alaveda Hu Gavar LeMikdale, maybe they're plotting counsel with the two of them that they're going to go ahead and kill me Achashverosh. And maybe, who knows, maybe Esther's going to marry Haman. So Hadar Amma, he subsequently says, if that would be the case, that people are planning to kill me, lo have a gavur derachem li da'ava mitli, would there be no one who has compassion on me that would tell me about it? So Hadar Amma, he subsequently said, dil meke inish David b'tibus, v'lei parati. You know what, maybe there's someone who did me a favor, and they never paid him back. Mishamachi mimni incha v'lei miklili, therefore people are stopping, and they're not telling me anything because I never paid them back. Miyad, immediately, like the Pasuk says, v'yem lahavi aseva hazachrein esdera yam, he said, to bring the book of the Chronicles, that which had happened in the past, to know, to look through the royal ledger, to see if anything like that ever happened. Now the Pasuk says, v'yu nikram, that it was read in front of him. Malamish nikram elen, this says that it was read by itself, because no one wanted to read about the favor of Mordechai, no one wanted to save the Jewish people, it actually read by itself the book. Now it says, v'yimatze kosub, it was found written, which was this, that Mordechai saved Achashverosh's life. Now, kasuv sounds like it was written now. Says the Gemara, kasav mi bale. It should have said in the past tense that it was written, which was way back when he saved Achashverosh's life. Says the Gemara, Malam, this comes to teach us as a continuing type of design, Manav, Sheshimshai, who he was this the royal scribe, he was a son of Israel, he was an anti-Semite, he hated the Jewish people. He was already the royal scribe from the days of Kairish before Achashverosh, like it says in Sefer Ezra, that he wrote bad things regarding the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and he actually convinced Kairish to actually stop the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And he did the same thing in the days of Achashverosh after that. Like it says, B'malchus Achashverosh B'tchaz Malchus Akas V'sidna. They wrote letters not to let the Beis HaMikdash be rebuilt. What he did, he was meichik. He actually was erasing from the royal ledger this, that what Mordechai did for Achashverosh. V'Gavriel Kosev. It was literally in the present tense because the Malach Gavriel was rewriting it. And the Gemara tells us based on this that Omar Basi, that Darish Reb Shila Ishkfar Tamarta, from the village of Tamarta, that Umak Sab Shalamata, if a writing down here on this world, Shalaschusn Shalisa, which is for the merit of the Jewish people, Ein Nimcha can't get erased. So Ksav Shalamala like Kolshkin, so the writing up there in Shemayim doesn't get erased, and the merit that the Jewish people do and that they have up in Shemayim will never be erased.